Chapter 18. The Jewish People and Their False Messiah and Treaty. The 14th end time prophecy concerning the Jewish people letting us know we're living in the last days is that Israel would place their hope in the wrong Messiah. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's.
Romans 11:25-32. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in, so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The Deliverer will come from Zion, he will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account, but as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all.
In other words, everybody's going to have an opportunity. But for now, the Jewish people are experiencing a hardness in part, or some translations say a blindness in part. This passage is just one of many examples in the Bible that clearly tell us that God is not done with the Jewish people. They are currently under a temporary blindness until what? What did it say there? Until the time of the fullness of the Gentiles, i.e. non-Jewish people, come in, or in other words, get saved. God knows who's going to get saved, so once that number comes in, he's going to once again focus on the Jewish people. He's going to rescue them and fulfill his promises he made way back to David and even the patriarchs. He's not done yet. Therefore, here's the point. Until that time occurs, the Jewish people are unfortunately going to be blinded to the true identity of the Antichrist, their hearts are going to be hardened to the truth and thus not just strike a treaty with him, but apparently they're even going to look upon him as some sort of savior to place their hopes in, thinking that he's going to do what everybody else has failed to do, give them peace. They are blinded or hardened to the truth about the real identity of the Antichrist. And by the way, this blindness is what the 7-year tribulation is all about. It is God's very tool to open their eyes to the real Messiah.
Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son.
So here we see the good news and the bad news for the Jewish people. Their eyes are finally opened to the truth, in the 7-year tribulation, to who Jesus really is and how he's the one and only real Messiah for them and us. The blindness or hardness is gone, but it comes at a horrible price. The Bible says, the Antichrist, the one they initially put their hope in, will show his true colors and hunt 2/3 of them down and kill them.
Zechariah 13:8-9. In the whole land, declares the Lord, 2/3 will be struck down and perish, yet 1/3 will be left in it. This third I will bring into the fire, I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them, I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God.
Praise God, their eyes are finally opened, and the hardness is gone, but it comes on the heels of another Jewish Holocaust. Very sad. This is the point, when this happens in the 7-year tribulation, we have already gone at the rapture. Do we see any signs right now that the Jewish people are really expecting some sort of Messiah/Savior figure to place their hopes in, that the Antichrist is going to fool them into thinking he is? Oh yeah. Slightly. Okay. What I'm about to share with you, the bulk of it, is just from over the last year alone, and just one news source in Israel. This is hot off the press, okay. But it is a massively condensed summation of over 250 pages worth of articles of the Jewish people expecting a Messiah, right now, found last year in just one news source. Now, as we saw before, the Jewish people are not only expecting a Messiah, but so much so that they are getting ready to build the actual crown to put on the head of the guy who they think will be their Messiah. But they've also completed the Messiah Torah scroll for the Messiah to read when he arrives, specially made for him.
Rabbi Yosef Berger, one of the rabbis in charge of King David's tomb in Jerusalem's Old City, took an enormous step towards making his year-long dream a reality. Rabbi Berger's dream was to write a Torah scroll to present to the Messiah upon his arrival. Since David's tomb, the burial place of the Messiah's ancestor, is located on Mount Zion, Rabbi Berger is uniquely positioned to personally present the Torah to the Messiah. The rabbi believes that by writing a Torah scroll and keeping that scroll on Mount Zion, it will fulfill the requirements to usher in the Messiah.
The reason why they are so expecting of the Messiah, to the point where they want to hurry up and create the crown for his head and make the Torah scroll for him to read, is because, once again, instead of sticking with scripture, they are looking to all different kinds of wacky indicators that the Messiah is about to appear. Now, again, I'm skipping over large portions of this crazy behavior, be it looking for the Messiah in secret Torah codes, which is a bunch of baloney, or even looking for the Messiah in special needs children. Let's take a look at these.
Messiah and the Torah codes. These are the supposed secret messages encoded within the Hebrew text of the Torah and can supposedly be revealed by arranging specific letters from the text in a certain way so as to reveal a secret message. According to Rabbi Matityahu Glazerson, a so-called Torah codes expert, hidden clues in the Torah indicate that the left-wing party in Israel will be defeated as a precursor to the Messiah. So, using a Torah program, he searched for equidistant letter sequences in the Torah, containing the words Erev Rav, left and Moshiach, as well as the words Ketzmol, end of the left. All these phrases were adjacent to the letters Tav, Shin, Ein, Chet. And it turns out that the numeric equivalent of these letters is the current year according to the Hebrew calendar. But that's not all. Rabbi Glazerson also found Lag B'Omer, a Jewish festive day in the Torah codes that could indicate the soon appearance of the coming Moshiach, the Messiah. Once again, using a special computer program to search for series of letters in the Torah in order to extract hidden meanings, Rabbi Glazerson searched for the words Lag B'Omer, and found them in the Book of Exodus interconnected with the letters Yud and Chet, leading into the word Iyar, and the code for the 18th of Iyar appears as a continuation of the word Moshiach, Messiah. And he also pointed out that all these codes were surrounding the verse that commanded Israel to keep the Sabbath. Therefore, he says, in order for the Messiah to come, we need to keep the Sabbath. But that's still not all. Rabbi Glazerson then went on to say at the end of last year that according to the Torah codes, the Messiah will come that year. Unfortunately, the year 5778 ended last September, when Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, ushered in 5779. When asked to explain the discrepancy, Rabbi Glazerson told Breaking Israel News, "The year 5778 was significant, but the actual date of the Messiah is still in question. Well duh, it may take longer if we do not merit it, but the soonest it can come is this year. Well double duh." And then he actually went on to say, "Whether or not the Messiah will come this year was decided in heaven last week during the fast of the 10th of Teves. Messiah and special needs children, new messages from autistic children in Jerusalem shows how the Messiah is about to be revealed. Daniel, one of the special needs kids, transmits his messages via facilitated communication, FC, a technique used as a way of communicating with those who cannot speak normally. He is said to be gifted with the power of prophecy and warns that the final stages preceding Messiah are imminent and they will be difficult. So why do they listen to him? Because, according to some rabbinic opinions, autistic children qualify as a form of prophetic communication since the Talmud teaches that, since the temple was destroyed, prophecy was taken from the prophets and given to children. And Rabbi Brody said, one-on-one, he has answered questions for me that I have struggled with for years. I feel this is straight from heaven. Many of the autistic children are aware of previous lifetimes. And Rabbi Samuel related how one girl knew that in a previous lifetime, she was born a Jew but rejected her faith when she married a non-Jew. She needed to return to this world just to repair this blemish in her faith, so Rabbi Samuel explained. For that, being autistic was just enough since it allowed her to have the most simple and clear faith in the God of Israel. So, Daniel goes on to describe how to prepare for the final stages of the Messiah. Most people don't want to understand that we are near the end, Daniel said. The Messiah is about to be revealed, but we have to undergo something very difficult first. God is going to destroy two-thirds of the world. I don't think this is going to be due to a nuclear war, though that may be part of it. Then Rabbi Eldad Shemuel, one of the rabbis who organizes and attends a group of autistic children, said, they have been saying more and more that the Geula, redemption, is very close. But before it comes, there will be a horrible war, the likes of which has never been seen. Entire cities, huge, urban centers, will be destroyed. the United States will be unrecognizable after the war. But they say if you do teshuvah, repentance, God will take care of you, food, water, electricity and all that is needed. The end of days will be like when the Jews left Egypt. The Jews will not suffer. Messiah and near-death experiences, Israeli teen returns from 15 minutes of clinical death with spiritual messages concerning the coming Messiah. A 15-year-old secular Israeli boy named Nathan had a near-death experience and returned to life describing biblical prophecies about the end of days. In a video posted on YouTube, Nathan is shown speaking to an Orthodox Jewish audience in a synagogue in Israel, just days after his near-death experience. He relates his understanding of what was revealed to him in the next world during the 15 minutes that he was pronounced clinically dead. Nathan's near-death experience happened on the first night of this past Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, which was also the night of the final blood moon. At the home of his uncle, where he went to visit for the holiday, Nathan began feeling unwell. He described suddenly shivering and felt cold in his arms and legs. Then he decided to go and rest and, in those moments, felt his soul exit his body through his nose. Among the various spiritual messages received by Nathan, the young boy speaks about the Messiah standing on the Mount of Olives and determining who is worthy to be saved. Rabbi, what do you see?
What do you hear? What do you smell?
Nathan, you smell a good smell, simply a good smell. It just can't be described in this world what that good smell is that you smell.
A good smell. And you see the light, and you just want to stay there forever. For always.
Rabbi, those who didn't keep Torah and mitzvot?
Nathan, they will die.
Rabbi, those who kept Torah and mitzvot? Nathan, those who kept Torah and mitzvot, it depends. It depends if they did Torah with gemilat tasadim. There are those who are observant, but they don't really care about it, they are casual about it. But if someone really strict, and studies Torah and does acts of kindness, he will be saved. I also saw the moment that Har-Hazatim splits in two, then the Mashiach will stand at the entrance, but he won't see who is religious, who has a beard, and who a person is.
What he will see if, he sees according to a person's holiness, he will smell each person, he will smell if someone has holiness, if he is pure, if he did mitzvot, if he performed acts of kindness.
In describing the qualities of the Messiah, Nathan said, the Mashiach, Messiah, is first of all someone who can't sin.
Someone who repented.
And he will be someone who we actually know very well, but everyone will be very, very surprised that he is of all people the Mashiach. Then Nathan goes on to describe the power of the Messiah to discern a person's holiness. He won't see who is religious, who has a beard and who a person is.
What he will see according to a person's holiness, he will smell each person, he will smell if someone has holiness, if he is pure, if he did mitzvot, God's commandments, if he performed acts of kindness, and things like that. Dude, you better blow your nose.
Messiah and Netanyahu, is Netanyahu holding the keys for the Messiah? Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, first met Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson in 1984 when Netanyahu was Israel's ambassador to the United Nations. But before Netanyahu returned to Israel in 1988 to join Likud, right-wing political party in Israel, the rabbi gave him so-called prophetic advice about his political trials.
He's going to come out of it, and he'll stand tall, on God's side.
He will make it through this, and he will continue, and he'll be able to hand his keys over to Moshiach, the Messiah, and will have the complete and true redemption. Then Rabbi Yitzhak Kadri met with Netanyahu in 1997 during his first term as prime minister, and he whispered this message into the politician's ear.
You will serve a very long time, and after your term in office, the Messiah would arrive.
Before his death, Kadri also said that he expected the Jewish Messiah to arrive soon, and that he had met him a year earlier. Then in May, Rabbi Levi Sudri noted many parallels between the current prime minister and Jonathan, the son of biblical King Saul. Sudri suggested that Netanyahu is serving the function of Moshiach ben Yosef, Messiah from the house of Joseph, the first half of a two-stage messianic process. He explained that as the reincarnation of Jonathan, Netanyahu is paving the way for the more transcendent Moshiach ben David who will immediately follow. And lest you doubt, the name Netanyahu is composed of the same letters as the name, Jonathan. Then, if that wasn't enough proof, Rabbi Moshe ben Tov, known for his ability to perceive the past and present of people by gazing at the mezuzah on their door, that's a decorative case placed on the Jewish doorpost that contains a parchment inscribed with Hebrew verses from the Torah. He then stared at the mezuzah in the Prime Minister's office, and gave this message: "It is very important that your love of Israel continue until the Moshiach comes, because you are going to stay in office and are going to meet him." He then said, "You are the one who will give him the keys to this office." However, perhaps the most powerful message connecting current political events to the Messiah came from a 31-year-old Israeli woman named Talia Caroline Eliyahu, who was going through a spiritual crisis after giving birth. She sensed a dark presence in her home one night as she awoke to change her baby's diaper.
When she returned to sleep, she dreamt of a large chariot with many people in it, including a member of her family. She followed the chariot into a large room where many people were being beaten.
And in that room, she encountered her deceased grandmother, who said, "You are partly here and partly there." She also saw many holy rabbis that she recognized, some alive and some already deceased. And one of the rabbis she recognized was Rabbi Kook, a well-known mystic from Tiberias, who supposedly stated, "When the government of Netanyahu crumbles, it is time to get ready for the Moshiach. Messiah in nature, according to Torah scholars, the end of days will be marked with unusual natural phenomena such as stars and earthquakes." And this past year alone, Breaking Israel News reported on various natural phenomena heralding the Messiah, including snowfall in the hottest desert, seismic activity, eclipses, volcanoes, hurricanes, heavy rains, tsunamis, blood moons, blood red rivers and asteroids as a sure sign that the Messiah's coming is imminent. In fact, several rabbis are pointing to the recent rare lunar eclipse and continued earthquakes as a divine pre-messianic wake-up call. Because after all, the Talmud specifies that lunar eclipses are a bad omen for Israel, since Israel is spiritually represented by the moon. If the lunar eclipse takes place in the east side of the heavens, then it is a bad omen for all the nations in the east, and if it occurs in the western hemisphere of the sky, it is a bad sign for all the nations in the west. And according to Rabbi Lazer Brody, "Here's your proof: the total time of the eclipse they had was 6 hours, 13 minutes, and 613 is the exact number of the Torah's commandments. Coincidence?
No such thing."
Then another mystic rabbi, Rabbi Yekutiel Fish, suggested that the increased geyser activity in Yellowstone National Park may be the precursor to the pre-Messiah War of Gog and Magog. He also saw a connection between recent heavy rains and the Messiah, and quoted supposed proof from a section of the Talmud, Tractate Tulin 63a, describing an undefined bird, possibly a sea crow or vulture, named a shrakrak. The Talmud states that when the shrakrak sits on something and cries out, mercy comes to the world in the form of rain.
But should this bird sit upon the ground and make its call, then the Messiah is about to come.
Then Rabbi Yosef Berger, the rabbi of King David's tomb on Mount Zion, even noted that the recent surge of fires across America also have prophetic significance concerning the Messiah. He believes you can see the actual biblical pillars of smoke and fire from a raging wildfire in Arizona. Jukin Media: as two people are sitting in their car across the river from the fire burning in Arizona, they are watching as the fire burns brightly and edges towards the water.
He says, "Wow, there it goes." She adds, "It's a water spout from the fire."
Again, he says, "Wow. The water spout looks like a tornado and it keeps getting bigger and bigger." He goes on to say, "When this vision of a pillar of smoke and fire appeared on the other side of the world, a great tzaddik, righteous Jew, passed away in Israel. In the Zohar, the writings that are the basis for Jewish mysticism, it is written that before the Messiah appears, a hidden righteous man will be essential to prepare the way for him to be revealed, and a pillar of fire appears when tzaddikim leave the world, and there have been many cases throughout history where this has been witnessed."
Then Rabbi Ben Artzi said, "The Creator is purifying the world from the filth of the snake in order to prepare the way for the Messiah to be revealed in the world."
And Rabbi Levi Sudra said, "What is happening below the surface is that something wonderful is being born, the Moshiach, Messiah." And Rabbi Trugman concluded, "It is clear that we are living in an age that is very close to the Moshiach." Which is why Rabbi Fish emphasized that, the only thing we can do is pray and do tshuva, repent. Messiah in rabbinical opinions: Orthodox scholar Rabbi Yitzhak Breitowitz explained that there are alternative scenarios for the messianic figure.
Moshiach as a person will be killed in the horrendous wars of Gog and Magog. But he then said Moshiach can take another form. It doesn't have to be the form of a person. It can take the form of a movement and a philosophy.
Rabbi Yosef Berger said, "In the days before Moshiach, Messiah, Hashem, God, literally the name, will bring back the 10 plagues of Egypt to punish the enemies of Israel, but to an even greater degree. And then former chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel, Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu, states that, according to the Talmud, there are 36 hidden righteous Jews whose identity is known to a select few.
If there is fewer than 36 in any one moment, the world would cease to exist.
Rabbi Yitzhak Kadri, the most famous Jewish Kabbalist, mystic, in Israel, announced that the world was about to enter a period of increased natural disasters, explaining that these disasters would be directly related to the Geula, redemption, process. It was also at that time, during the afternoon prayers of Yom Kippur, that the rabbi, who was 104 years old at the time, went into a deep meditative state, causing great concern among his students. After 45 minutes, the rabbi lifted his head and smiled, announcing, "The soul of the Moshiach, Messiah, has attached himself to a person in Israel."
But then Rabbi Pinchas Winston said, "The Messiah might have already come, and we didn't notice. You may not see Messiah until after it happens, if you even see it then."
That being said, it means that Moshiach must come sometime within the next 9 years. Still another rabbi said, "Did England just push the Messiah further away?" This is from Rabbi Yosef Dayan, a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin. He was aghast when he heard the story of the death of the 23-month-old Alfie Evans, who died as the direct result of an order from a British court to halt the life support he was on. He and others believe that the death of babies, before and after birth, is delaying the arrival of the Moshiach, Messiah. Some actions actually serve to bring the Messiah closer, but everyone that does an abortion and kills a baby is actively delaying the Messiah. Then another rabbi, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, was asked if this year was a favorable time for the coming of the Messiah, and he said, "Without hesitation, of course." And then even more specifically he stated that, "The Messiah is alive today, and when Israel merits it, he will immediately reveal himself." But then he went on to say that, "The Messiah will be born this Saturday. If he hasn't been born already, and righteous Jews need to prepare special clothes to be worn only for greeting the Messiah upon his arrival." Then he added, "Yell it from loudspeakers, the Messiah is at the door, and it is up to each one of us to usher in his arrival. Gather your family and come to Israel. Otherwise, there won't be enough room for you on the airplanes." Still more he said, "It very well could be the Messiah will come this week.
He can come at any moment. He is here with us already. Don't travel." And then he stated, "Don't be sad. The Messiah is already here. He will reveal himself very soon."
And finally, he shared, "The only way to be saved is through learning Torah, and through works of loving kindness, and there is no other way." And lest you doubt where his supposed inspiration is coming from, Rabbi Kanievsky blesses marijuana as kosher for Passover. He said it can be eaten or smoked despite the strict dietary laws of the holiday. As three rabbis gather around one that is holding marijuana, they are nodding their heads up and down and look into the green leaves.
It is all done in Hebrew. They are blessing the weed for further use.
And maybe that's why Israel's high court won't hear man claiming to be the Messiah. Yeah, maybe they're afraid he's been smoking something.
Dov Sobel has repeatedly turned to Israeli courts, demanding recognition of God's purported messages to him. The High Court of Justice on Tuesday declined to debate the messages of a self-styled Messiah to the world who says he's receiving messages from the Creator of the world, despite the petitioner noting the very great responsibility for the fate of the world that rests on his shoulders. Dov Sobel has even asked the High Court to force Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to read his book, in order to save the world from its future troubles and to bring world peace. But apparently, they aren't taking any chances because police in Israel are actively preparing for Messiah's arrival. No one knows the day or the hour, but the Israeli police seem to believe the Messiah is coming soon. The Israeli Commissioner of Police, Roni Alshik, stated at a recent Jewish celebration that his department is preparing for the arrival of the Messiah. "When the Messiah comes, everyone will want to approach him, so it will get very crowded. That will be a time when we will need to start preparing for the security operation necessary upon the arrival of the Messiah."
Again, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but it sure looks to me like the Jewish people are ready to receive some sort of Messiah figure to place their hopes in. How about you? In fact, close to 6,000 Jewish rabbis and community leaders attended an annual international conference with emissaries who served the Jewish people from over 75 countries around the world, whereupon they began singing, "We want Moshiach now. We don't want to wait." Talk about high expectations. And, keep in mind, I skipped over a ton of other supposed indicators such as whale sightings, shark swarms, oil discoveries, precious gems, and of course the embassy move, you name it. Just about everything you can think of has become an indicator that the Messiah is almost here. But here's the point. With all those wacky speculations they're looking at as supposed proof for the coming of the Messiah, do you think they are in any spiritual conditions to recognize the false Messiah when he comes? Not even close. And that's why when you ask the average Jewish person today about how they will know when the real Messiah comes, they have absolutely no clue.
The Ask Project.
How will we know the Messiah has come?
Israeli.
We will hear the shofar, ram's horn.
The sound of the shofar? So that means every Rosh Hashanah the Messiah comes?
No, we will hear it all around the world.
The shofar will be heard all around the world. That's the sign?
The reporter asks another Israeli.
How will we know the Messiah has come?
Not about Christianity, right? Not about Christianity, you mean Judaism?
What are you talking about?
The Israeli turns to his friend to ask.
How will we know the Messiah has arrived? How will we know the Messiah has arrived? The Messiah is already here.
Who? Who is the Messiah?
The Messiah is the reality that the nation of Israel exists. The Messiah doesn't have to be a person.
The fact that Israel exists is the Messiah?
Yes.
Another lady on the street is asked by the reporter, how will we know that the Messiah is coming?
What a question. When he comes, we will know. Obviously. I have no answer to that. There is the belief in my heart that he will come when he comes. When he comes, everyone will know.
Again, the reporter asks the question to another Israeli. How will we know when the Messiah comes?
What? I don't know Jewish literature, sorry.
You don't believe?
No.
You don't believe in the Messiah at all?
No.
The reporter asks another man on the street.
How will we know when the Messiah comes?
How will we know? It says that it is when the kingship returns to Israel and politically and militarily Israel is secure. Then you will know that the Messiah has come.
So if we install a kingship now, that means that the Messiah has come?
No, we don't install it. It's not up to us to bring him down. We will know by the success of the Messiah. When the Messiah is successful in bringing about world peace and when Israel is recognized by the nations, then we will know that the Messiah has come. He has to prove himself. And that's exactly what the Antichrist will do. And I quote, we will know if the Messiah is real if he brings about world peace and Israel is recognized by the nations around the world. This is what Daniel 9:27 says he will do. He will make a peace treaty with Israel and that will be recognized around the world, and this, as you just heard, is what the Jewish people want and are expecting right now. But this is the very event that starts the 7-year tribulation. Which makes you wonder, if the Jewish people are this ripe to place their hopes in a false Messiah to save them, then could it be that the actual Antichrist is alive and well already somewhere on planet Earth? Makes you wonder. And that leads us to the 15th end time prophecy concerning the Jewish people, letting us know we're living in the last days, is that Israel would place their hopes in a deceptive treaty. And again, this is the event that starts the 7-year tribulation.
Daniel 9:27. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1:7. In the middle of the 7 he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on a wing of the temple he will set up an abomination that causes desolation, until the end that is decreed is poured out on him.
But again, as you can see here in our text, we saw that this was the classic text that specifically tells us the exact event that starts the 7-year tribulation in the last days. And what was it? It's when the Antichrist makes a covenant or peace treaty with the people of Israel, right? But not only that, what was the specific time frame about this covenant? It's going to specifically be for what? 7 years, right? Again, this is why we have a 7-year tribulation, not a 42-year tribulation, or 2-year, or 19 weeks and 3-day tribulation. It's the final week of Daniel's 70th week prophecy. Okay, now here's the point. Can anybody guess just where in the world, right now, everybody is wanting to make a peace treaty with? Israel, shocker. little bitty tiny Israel. Not Russia, not China, but little bitty tiny Israel. Because they are fulfilling the prophecy of them becoming a source of worldwide conflict, and it's leading to the fulfillment of this prophecy from Daniel. One day, because of all this conflict going on that we see every day on TV, the people of Israel are going to strike a relationship with the Antichrist, of all people, and seek a peace treaty with him. It's right there. So, the question is, are there any signs that the Jewish people really are trying to make a peace treaty or covenant with other people? We see they have a desire to place their hope in a false Messiah, but how about a treaty? Slightly. In fact, let me show you just a few of the failed attempts that other people and governments have tried to make with Israel in our lifetime, exactly like the Bible said would happen in the last days. UN Security Council Resolution 242, 1967. Camp David Accords, 1978. The Madrid Conference, 1991. Israeli-Syrian Talks, 1991. Oslo Agreement, 1993. Israel-Jordan Treaty of Peace, 1994. Camp David, 2000. Taba Talks, 2001. Saudi Peace Plan, 2002. Roadmap Peace Plans, 2003. Geneva Accord, 2003. Sharm el-Sheikh Summit, 2005. Franco-Italian-Spanish-Middle East Peace Plan, 2006. Israel-Hamas Ceasefire, 2008. Direct Talks Peace Plan, 2010. Israeli Peace Initiative, 2011. Okay, maybe it's just me, but it sure looks like somebody's trying to get a peace treaty going on with, of all people, Israel, how about you? Oh yeah. And again, you have to understand the significance of this. One of these treaties, maybe it's one that's even being hashed out now behind the scenes, we don't know, but one of them is going to be with the Antichrist himself. And unlike all the other failed ones we just saw, he alone is going to pull it off. And it's not going to lead to peace in the Middle East. It's going to lead to your absolute worst nightmare. It's the very event that starts the 7-year tribulation. That's how close we are. In fact, many people believe that maybe even one of the recent treaties being hashed out right now as we speak, behind the scenes, with various political rulers, could actually be the treaty Daniel is talking about. Let's take a look at some of those recent attempts from current world rulers. The first recent attempt for a peace treaty with Israel is the Trump peace plan. Now, in actuality, it's really not so much President Trump's peace plan as it is his son-in-law Jared Kushner's peace plan. In fact, some headlines around the world are saying just that, Jared Kushner's peace plan and he's over there, Kushner, not Trump, meets to discuss Mideast peace. And apparently Israel says it would welcome the United States as a mediator, led by Jared Kushner, Trump's White House advisor and son-in-law, in what's being called, the deal of the century. But he, along with his colleague Jason Greenblatt, a Jewish man, are really the ones putting this deal together. Trump's just getting the credit for it. And this has led many to speculate, not so much Donald Trump, but could Jared Kushner be the Antichrist? It's a recent deal of the century calling for peace. But that's not all. The second recent attempt for a peace treaty with Israel is the British peace plan. Believe it or not, even Prince William is getting in on the action to seek peace with Israel, to the point where some are starting to ask the question, will Prince William confirm a covenant with Israel? Here's a recent historic trip he made to Israel. I wonder what he's up to?
The Daily Dose, Prince William will set foot in Israel for the first time. It will be the first ever official visit to Israel of any senior member of Great Britain's royal family. Kensington Palace confirmed release of part of the itinerary that the prince will hold meetings in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, and he will also be visiting Jordan and the West Bank on this trip. Although we have been told that this trip will be non-political, there have been a lot of politicians on it so far. And this evening, first in front of the Union flag and national anthem followed by the Israeli flag and national anthem, the Duke stood next to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Then Prince William took a step on that delicate political tightrope that he has been navigating in that regional world. Prince William, never has hope and reconciliation been more needed. I know I share the desire with all of you and our neighbors for a just and lasting peace.
But that's still not all. The third recent attempt for a peace treaty with Israel is the French peace plan. Now for those of you who don't know, Emmanuel Macron is the new French president who is very young, very charismatic, and a European leader that is a staunch globalist. He's not only pro-European Union but he's also a one-worlder to the point where Front Page magazine had a headline reading, "The Globalist Empire Strikes Back in France." This is because Macron was a Rothschild investment banker with zero political experience, but he was also backed by chief globalist George Soros, and was even trained in the Jesuit school system. He also represents socialism, no borders, immigration, Islam exaltation, and godlessness. He arrived on the scene in France with the same hope and change rhetoric of Barack Obama, who by the way endorsed him. And of all things that he's doing on the political world scene, it's this: France's President Emmanuel Macron has called for renewed peace talks between the Israelis and Palestinians, indicating he will help in the process. This was after his first formal meeting with Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Paris. It's his statements in the media that are even more telling of his true motives. First of all, Emmanuel in Hebrew means God with us, and based on some very strange statements he's making in the media, some are saying, could Emmanuel Macron be an apocalyptic leader? And the reason why is because Macron has gone on record as stating he wants to govern like a Roman god, and he has even been referred to as the Sun King reborn and given the nickname Jupiter, who by the way is the Roman god of the sky and thunder, and the king of all the gods in ancient Roman religions. Apparently, this is why European publications are depicting him as walking on water and asking the question, is he Europe's savior? But he also has a reputation for being ruthless. The Financial Times quoted a source who has known Macron well for years, detailing how he seduces everyone. And then he kills. Whoa. Now wait a minute. That's what the real Antichrist is going to do with the Jewish people. First, he seduces them with a peace treaty, then he kills them. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. Now, before I go any further, let me clarify. I am not here to predict who the Antichrist is, and I'm certainly not saying that any of these guys is the actual Antichrist. And that's because as Christians we are not going to be here, so we're not looking for the Antichrist, we're looking for Jesus Christ. Amen? I just bring this up to show you how ripe things are on the world scene for somebody, some political ruler, whoever he is, to approach Israel with a deceptive treaty and promise them peace and security. And that brings up another Bible prophecy that the Apostle Paul talked about, sharing how this desire for peace and security, that all these guys are pushing for, is as he said would happen in the last days.
1 Thessalonians 5:1-3. Now, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape.
According to this text, the Apostle Paul tells us one of the signs that we know we are getting close to the Lord's return is when all of a sudden, you see people all over the planet crying out a specific phrase. And notice what that phrase was: it was peace and safety, right? Not peace and happiness, not joy and prosperity, not even stop eating chicken, as cool as that would be, but specifically the phrase peace and safety. Okay, now, pay attention, because nothing's by chance in the scripture. It just so happens that the Greek word here for safety is asphalia, and it literally means security, as in security from enemies or security from danger. So literally you could say in that text, peace and security, and still be totally right on. Now here's the point. Put this Bible prophecy passage from Paul about peace and security being the exact phrase that people would be crying out for in last days, just prior to Jesus' return. Combine it with Israel coming back on the scene to become a center of conflict for the whole world, where everybody wants to now make peace, and can anybody guess just what all the world's leaders are crying out for in regard to Israel and this problem? Peace and security. It's the exact same phrase Paul said people would cry out for in the last days before sudden destruction. In fact, it's been going on for quite some time now. Meeting at the United Nations. The objective is to have a Palestinian state since the war of 1967 that will lead to Hillary Clinton. Peace and security. Barack Obama. One lesson from history is that peace and security does not come easy. Peace and stability that all people on all sides long for. Two states for two peoples living side by side in peace and security is not just a slogan but a real necessity for the stability of the entire region. Israel and Palestinians can live side by side in peace and security. This is our vision, and this is our commitment. Dan Gillerman. Our hopes and dreams for Israel are to live in peace, to live in peace and security. Barack Obama. Two states living side by side in peace and security. True peace for all Israelis. We will also pursue peace between Israel and Lebanon. Peace and security. Barack Obama, Israel and Syria. Benjamin Netanyahu. Peace and security. Barack Obama. And a broader peace between Israel and its many neighbors. We must decide, if we are serious about peace and security, to recognize Israel's legitimacy and its right to exist in peace and security. Barack Obama. It is how we will find a new pathway to peace and security. That is the work we must do. Tony Blair. Peace and security and coexistence. Benjamin Netanyahu. We have to move towards peace, economy, security and peace, then peace can succeed. Not joy and prosperity, not deliverance and happiness, but wonder of wonders. It just happens to be the exact biblical phrase, right now, that the Bible warned would come upon the scene in the last days, peace and security. Now, if you're paying attention, they're still saying that exact same phrase even in our current administration. Here's the recent NATO meeting that President Trump attended, and notice what's coming out of their mouths.
CBSN reports from a welcoming ceremony at NATO. Today we have achieved an unprecedented period of peace and security. We are here today so that the future generations can enjoy that same peace and security. We owe our success to our community, to our soul, to our ability to change as our world has changed. And above all, to the men and women of our armed forces who put themselves in harm's way to keep us safe. Some gave their ultimate sacrifice. So, to the thousands of our soldiers, sailors, and air crew serving in operations around the world, let me say, we owe you and your families a great debt of gratitude. You embody what NATO is. Your skill, your professionalism, your determination, you are what makes peace and security possible. You allow us to look to the future with confidence.
Now, for those of you wondering why the world leaders, in conjunction with the United Nations, keep saying that phrase, peace and security, well, believe it or not, I discovered the reason why when we were shooting the documentary on the sealed judgments when we visited the UN. As it turns out, that is one of the three pillars as to why the United Nations exist, to provide the world with peace and security. Listen to it for yourself. We recorded the UN lady saying it. The video opens with the view of the Statue of Liberty and then a panoramic view of New York City. As Pastor Billy walks up to the United Nations building, he passes the flags of all the nations that stood next to the entry. There was a statue of a gun that had the barrel twisted in a knot. There was a plaque that read, "One child, one teacher, one book, and one pen can change the world." Written by Malala Yousafzai, United National Youth Assembly, July 12, 2013. He then enters the building to walk down its halls.
State of Palestine. Justice for the Palestinian people, including the Palestine refugees, leaving Palestine to Israel seeking peace and security, as well as the goal of Israeli peace. Benjamin Netanyahu. I don't seek applause. I seek the security and peace and prosperity, and the future of the Jewish state. John Kerry. That's what we were standing up for. Israel's future as a Jewish and democratic state, living side by side in peace and security with its neighbors. President Trump. In nearly seven decades since Harry Truman spoke those words, the NATO has been the word of international peace and security.
Now here's what's wild. While touring the UN, the tour guide used that exact phrase on several occasions. So, obviously I couldn't resist. I asked her about her phrase peace and security. This is her answer.
Pastor Billy.
I have a question. The phrase you had used earlier about that room, peace and security, is that a phrase? Is that something you came up with, or is it a joint effort? Just curious. Peace and security, you hear that a lot.
Tour guide.
Right.
Did the UN come up with that?
Peace and security is one of the three pillars of the UN.
So, as you just heard, peace and security is the first of the three pillars of the UN: peace and security, development and human rights. 2,000 years ago, the Bible told us that exact phrase would be used before sudden destruction comes upon them. Can you believe it? Once again, the Bible gets it exactly right. I'll say it again, not joy and prosperity, not deliverance and happiness, but wonder of wonders. It just so happens to be the exact biblical phrase, right now, that the Bible warned would come upon the scene in the last days, peace and security. And when you see people all over the planet specifically crying out that phrase, straight from the goals of the UN, be it Trump, Kushner, Prince William, Macron, whoever, what did the Bible say would happen? Bang! Sudden destruction will come upon them and they will not escape. You'll be in the seven-year tribulation. What more does God have to do to get our attention? It's all lined up. The Lord's return is getting close and we better wake up. This is why, out of love, God has given us this update on the final countdown, tribulation rising concerning the Jewish people and the Antichrist, to show us that the seven-year tribulation is near, and the return of Jesus Christ is rapidly approaching. That's why Jesus himself said.
Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
Like it or not, we are headed for the final countdown. The signs of the 7-year tribulation are rising all around us. It's time to wake up. So, the point is this. If you're reading this today and you're not a Christian, then I beg you, please heed these signs, heed these warnings, give your life to Jesus now. You don't want to be here when God pours out his judgment upon this wicked and rebellious planet. It's the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God shortened the time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. The only way to escape is through Jesus. Take the way out now before it's too late. Get saved today. But, if you're reading this today and you're a Christian, then it's high time we stop goofing off and getting distracted with this world. Let's get busy working together sharing the gospel with as many as we can. Let's be that faithful remnant, in these last days. Amen?